Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Good morning, Trinity Church. With thanks to the very Reverend Dr. Cynthia Briggs Kittredge, friend of our parish and friend of mine, sister of the Diocese of Massachusetts and dean of this, the Seminary of the Southwest, I greet you from the pulpit of Christ Chapel. Re-enlivening our Austin to Boston bonds, I pray this setting will witness wherever we are the loving reach of our Episcopal Church, the righteous power of our shared ministry. For Christmas, my family tucked a calendar of dad jokes into my stocking. I tore away and took with me the first lighthearted pages before beginning the pilgrimage to my aunt's burial this last week. Since then, I've called my daughter each day, and she has delivered the next joke in the set. The second of these lamented, "You know, I feel sorry for parallel lines. They have so much in common, and yet they'll never meet." Parallel lines, they have so much in common, and yet they'll never meet. Recognizing our dual citizenship, forever made for God's kingdom, and yet always subject to earthly empire, and considering the real peril of these days in our national life, take heart that we Christians have a God who does not abandon us in the hour of darkness. No, by our baptismal commission, our God covenants to be with us, a partner and an inspiration to confront the worst of the world and ourselves with the mightiest of all forces, love. Let us then clearly distinguish American democracy and the Christian mission. For while these enduring projects have a history of mutual influence, at times to healthy effect, at others to gross injustice, their related trajectories have never been the same. Our American democracy, like all political forms, acts for its self-preservation, while Christianity endeavors time's fulfillment and nothing less, when our reconciliation to God and with one another will render all temporal institutions obsolete. Our American democracy seeks to co-opt Christianity's authority for its own purposes, while Christianity seeks the redemption and transformation of our civic life. Therefore, these dual forces that shape our lives and identities remain like parallel lines running in and through and above us. And no matter our affection for all they share in common, we must realize that these lines will never meet. In this understanding, we American Christians continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, first to join with God and with one another in loving communion and not in representative government. As a citizenry of God's kingdom, we seek and serve Christ in all persons, and we love our neighbor as ourselves first to fulfill our covenant promises, not to express our national ideals. As members of Christ's body, we strive for justice and peace among all people, first to inaugurate beloved community and not any partisan presidency. Therefore, we who are Trinity Church in the city of Boston counter the lies and decry the violence of January 6th because of their offense against truth and their injury to human dignity, not their damage to American democracy. The people of God, the integrity of our faith depends upon this fundamental priority. Our Christian profession preceding our politics, and never, never the reverse. For with baptism as our warrant, we can dig deeper in these events and name racism, its lies, its injury to human dignity as the root cause of Wednesday's insurrection. Realizing the horror of this reality, many white Americans feel an urgent need to distinguish ourselves from the open hate of the Capitol mob. This defensiveness wants to highlight partisan values' superficial overlap with our gospel aspirations, and wants our church associations to provide us cover, to make clear that we right Christians are not like those white Christians. And so pointing to media photographs and live stream videos, we want our congregations to announce on our behalf, but that is not who we are. Yet I say to you, that is inescapably and fundamentally parcel to who we are. Complicit beneficiaries of the horrible racism with which this country was wrought and which still sustains its gross inequities. Prioritizing our need to feel better about ourselves distracts us from solidarity with the communities who mortally suffer for the threats these events have exposed and express. Consequentially delays our transformation of these imperial forces running in and through and above us. So much of our furtive, reactive participation in liberal rituals reinforces white supremacy and does not challenge it, perpetuating rather than resolving white America's insatiable insecurities. And yet, in this overwhelming moment, even in this overwhelming moment, the God of all remains even with us, charging we white Americans to renew our commitment to set the needs of others before ourselves as our unceasing devotion, to grapple with renewed seriousness our privilege and its real human costs. In such an interrogation, we'll recognize that this insurrection's grossest expressions of white supremacy were not written on sweatshirts, but were witnessed in the presumption beneath the seditionists' actions and the authorities' immediate responses to them. This horde of whiteness never imagined their behavior would reap anything other than lenient exception, understanding, and accolade. This is my house, one rioter shouted. It did not occur to him or his conspirators that there would be consequences to their actions because they walk blithely through a world they understand as their exclusive entitlement. And they were right. One rank of Capitol Police yielded to them as though they were a busload of tourists, and no one less than the president and his family offered the understanding they expected. This is what happens when you steal an election. Offer to them the accolade that they anticipated. American patriots, we love you. You are special. Remember this day forever. Now, confronting these same horrors. Many black Americans did not have the luxury to first feel embarrassed or ashamed, but instead felt despairing and afraid, understanding bone deep that these marauders stormed the Capitol to take away the gains and protections and the law achieved in the last century and a half since the abolition of slavery, since the right to vote. Understood that this white horde expected to partner the supremacist worldview with the power of the police and the justice system. And that rather than knocking down the doors of Congress, that this horde would next come to knock down the doors of their homes. Lord, have mercy. As Christians, as the citizenry of God's kingdom, as the body of Christ, we must recognize this diversity of impact among black and white Americans and honor the different felt experiences of each. And then, only then, afraid and angry as we are, discouraged and disillusioned as we are, uncertain and unconvinced as we are, we must join ourselves in the name of Jesus until no one suffers for the privilege of another. And no matter the intensity of this moment, in this commitment, we must remain unwavering in that fundamental Christian mission, in that mightiest of forces, love. Love! Our fidelity in love and to love and for love must be our first, our last, our only opposition to empire, or we will compromise our credibility and quarter the power of all we seek to do, of all that God calls us to do. This is the priority that God calls and Paul commends in the commission that we live in this world without conforming ourselves to it. To become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, we must be humble, thinking of ourselves no more highly than we ought to think. For as in one body we have many members, we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. We are members of one another. Living together in this spirit, we let love be genuine. We despise what is evil, and yet we hold fast to what is good. We love one another with mutual affection. We outdo one another in showing honor. We do not lag in zeal. We are ardent in spirit. We serve the Lord. We rejoice in hope. We persevere in prayer. We contribute to the needs of the saints. We extend hospitality to strangers. The people of God, we do not allow ourselves to be overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. Hear that again. We do not allow ourselves to be overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. Any energy we devote to hating these aggressors and their enablers is lost to God, a gift to the very darkness we seek to dispel. Instead, in the model of Jesus, we do not repay anyone evil for evil, but we seek the higher road, what is noble in the sight of all. By our constancy in these loving devotions, we will rejoice with those who rejoice. We will weep with those who weep. We will live in harmony with one another And if it is possible, so far as it depends upon us, we will live peaceably with all. Parallel lives, they have so much in common, and yet they will never meet. Of course, as an American invested in the potential of our nation, I understand and I grieve the malevolent partisanship leading to this week's seditious events. Subject to empire, as we all are, I carry grave concern for what this uprising portends. I recognize, I affirm the need for legal accountability, for careful stewardship of our democracy in these moments. Yet with you and with our God, I remain first a servant of the cross and the empty tomb and not the Constitution in these United States. With you and with our God, I prioritize my membership in the body of Christ before my citizenship in this nation. With you and in the company of the Holy Spirit, I recognize that God's hopes are not American dreams. And even that which is most precious in our national ideals will not realize beloved community. In the words of the prophet, only love can do that. Love, the only force with the power to redeem and transform our nation and our world. Love, the only force with the power to overcome the racism that burdens us. Love, the only force with the power to inaugurate God's reign. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that we will seek and share in this love together, all in the name of the God who loved us first.